We continue with the book of Hebrews, but before I start with it, a very small overview. The overall message up to now is that we have to hold on to Jesus. He's God's supreme word, he's God's only son, and he's our high priest. And the reason is that the Apostle Paul, that the Apostle wrote this, is because the people were starting to drift away from where they started their faith. Some already had gone, and others were tempted to refer back to Judaism, adhering to the Mosaic law and the principles of it. They were also adopting a diminished view of Jesus, who he really is, and along with that, they started developing a philosophy, a vision, a very exaggerated view of angels. So with this thing in mind, the author wrote this letter to stop the drift and to keep Jesus center stage. And then to show the uniqueness and superiority of Jesus to anything that they were clinging on. Hebrews 3, verse 1 to 6. Could one of you read it? Who would like to read this? Please go ahead. Daddy.
Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful to in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. For a testimony of these, of those things which would be spoken afterward, for Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the Lord, firm to the end.
Okay, thank you. The author wants us to consider the following things. First, that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. This is not new for us. And Jesus was sent by the Father to us with a specific mission. As a priest, he was sent to us to do the priestly work of reconciling us to God. So he was the chief instrument to reconcile sinful man with holy God. As an apostle, he came with a special message from God. Now, considering Moses also was faithful in all his house as a servant. Now, and what is this house? Moses had been serving the nation of Israel, so the house is the nation of Israel. He was used by God to deliver the Jews from Egypt. You know, they were in captivity in Egypt. Not really in captivity, they were in a bad situation. So he was used to deliver them out of that bondage. But his serving work was pointing to someone beyond himself. Yes, he was a deliverer. Yes, he was powerfully used by God. But actually, everything that Moses did and everything that he stood for was pointing to someone else beyond him. And of course, we know he was pointing to Christ and his work. Moses served faithfully in God's house. So faithfully even, that at one point in time, His sister was against him, Miriam, and that was not taken lightly by God. But Christ is the builder of the house. Yes, he was a servant in the house, but Christ in the end was the builder of that house. He's the son over God's house, and because of this, he deserves a greater honor. In Numbers 12, verse 7, stated, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." So the scriptures bears witness to that. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 6, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So, what is he saying here? He is saying that we are now that spiritual house. The church is the spiritual house of God. And in Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 21, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." So, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we are built on the chief cornerstone, on the foundation that has been laid already by the apostles, and we are that house. So the role of Moses was important in God's house, but the role of Jesus as the builder of the house is more important. But how do we value then the work of Moses? There are a lot of teachings. They say, well, the Old Testament is not important anymore. The Mosaic law, that is not valid anymore for us. The author implies in verse 3 that Moses deserves some degree of respect. He elevates Jesus, but not at the expense of Moses. He simply makes the point that as great as Moses was, Jesus is far greater. He desires his readers to still value Moses as the agent of God's revelation. He still wants them to value the law and the commandments that God gave through Moses, his servant. So we should not neglect it. They have a value in our growth. And this is an important observation also for the church nowadays. We have to see and understand that the law given to Moses was fulfilled in Jesus. This doesn't mean that we have to reject the teachings of the law through Moses. But how do we have to look at it? Do you remember a few weeks ago, I was also standing here, I was mentioning that the laws that were given to Moses, that now in this present dispensation in which we live, in this church age, we have to consider them as promises. On your own, you cannot meet the requirement of that law. Never, ever. But that doesn't mean that the laws are useless. No. We can meet the requirements of the law, but only when we have the Lord Jesus in us. So the law that was given to the Jews became a promise. If we hold on, that is the message of the book of Hebrews, if you hold on, you will be able to meet those requirements. So we should not speak about the gospel at the expense of the message that Moses brought. Rather, we have to teach that the gospel is our means to salvation, and that the Mosaic law is the permanent evidence of the sort of things God will love and hate to see in the lives and hearts of His own people. And so consider the Mosaic law as an indication for us what God likes to see and hates to see in our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ. And this is a lasting testimony to what God will always regard as loving behavior towards Him, but also to others, towards your neighbor. So we have a challenge. The challenge in our Christian life is to maintain a proper and exalted view in Christ, but not to do it in a way that would put the work, the messages of Moses aside, and the revelation that came through him. Moses was a faithful servant who testified of things that were to be spoken later, but Jesus was a faithful son who was the very one that Moses' entire ministry and message was a testimony to. If you develop this view on the teachings of Moses and how it relates to what Jesus is doing in our life, that's a balanced view, and that is the kind of view that you have to develop more. Let's turn to some applications. The author of Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 6, tells us the following. This is very familiar to us, but it's good to be exposed again to it. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Now we know this. But observe this. Do not forget. Let your heart keep. Bind them. Write them. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own. And acknowledge Him. A lot of things to do. Don't you think so? There's so much to do. You have to think about those things. You have to they become almost like a law. They sound like a law. But take a look at something else. How does the New Testament approach this? Compare with what the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, is telling us. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Who is the busy person now? Are you writing His laws on your heart, or is it another person? You see, in this kind of dispensation, now as Christians, He is writing His laws on your heart. We have always been taught that. Do you see the shifting of effort? In the beginning, in the Old Testament time, you are the one. I am the one. But now, it's the Lord Jesus who is taking care of it. It requires from us only to go with it, to surrender ourselves. And then Jesus follows this up in the last book of the Bible, We talked about it last Friday. In chapter 2 and 3, Revelations, in the letter to the churches. Ephesus, the letter to Ephesus, Revelations 2 verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Who's feeding us? It's Jesus. He's feeding us. It's a promise. In the letter to Smyrna, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Again, Jesus telling us this. He is promising us. In the letter to Pergamum, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. He will give me a stone. And you do not know what kind of name is on that stone. Only I will know. So it's a very personal thing. He promises us here that he will deal personally with us. Thyatira. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And then a whole series of things are mentioned. To Sardis, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my fathers, just what Taylor said, and before his angels. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus confessing my name, your name, each one of our name, before the Father and before the angels? Reminds me what we read in Daniel, that Gabriel approached Daniel. You are beloved. You are a beloved man. And I'm sure that Jesus is going to speak about each one of us like that in front of the Father and to the angels. Philadelphia, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Laodicea, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What do I read here? I will grant to sit with me. Who is that me? This is Jesus. On my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He is promising us here something big, eh? He's promising us a very intimate relationship. Now, this is what Jesus promised to the church. And the church consists out of believers. So we have to hold fast to Jesus and to the things that had first and originally been taught to us. It's very nice for me to tell you this, but how shall we make this happen? The first question that I have to ask you, what do you think? Will Jesus keep his promises? Of course. They will never promise something that they will not be able to do that. And that is what you have to realize. Everything that happens around us is because of God promising the Jews something. The things happening around us is because God has promised us as Christians something. The things that is happening around us is not just like that by accident, No, that is because God has promised us something, and He is going to stick by that promise. But how shall we hold on to Him? Number one, we must place all our hopes on Him, and we must have complete confidence in Him. You know, sometimes we are saying, the Lord will help me. But how do we show our confidence in it that He helps us? Just like Sarah, by helping Him. Or there have been so many examples in the Bible that the person who was promised something, that the person is trying to help God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you are sure that God has promised you something, don't help God. Don't help God. You don't have to do it. Surrender yourself. Be sensitive. But do not help Him. Do not start manipulating here, manipulating there, politicking here, politicking there. Don't do that, because you are going to make a mess of it. The next one is simply reading the gospel is the best way to start. When we were in trouble in CBF in 2014, we had only 8 people here, not more than 8. The first thing we did was, let's go back to the gospel. Let's go back to the gospel. And we only had blessings because of that. I'm not talking about material blessings. I mean spiritual blessings. He gave us peace. He gave us strength. And at a certain moment, people were coming in who really loved His gospel, His truth. So read the gospel. Start with it. If you don't know what to share with your brothers and sisters, and you are just out of topic, go back to the gospel. That's what I'm always saying. If a preacher doesn't know anymore what to preach, go back to the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God. Yeah? Keeping the life of Christ before you, in your mind and in your heart, and when you set aside some time to sit down and read, and to saturate yourself with the person and work of Christ as seen in the Gospels, that will help you in holding on. I don't tell you that you have to study an hour. I don't tell you that you have to do that early in the morning. No, just be true to it. Go to the Gospel and read. Talk with God about the very things that you are reading. What is talking to God?
Praying.
It's praying. Now, what am I saying here?
Listening.
What?
Praying and listening.
Yeah. What I'm saying here is when you read something in the scripture, use that what you have read, use that to pray to God. It's possible. If you do that, you will be surprised how powerful His words become in you. The prayer that accompanies our reading helps us to pay attention to what we are seeing. But also, a prayer is a means of grace by which and through which we acknowledge our dependence upon God. And in so doing, ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth and to illumine us and give us understanding and insight into spiritual truths that are only available to those who belong to Christ. Now that truth that is only available for us, that is what is meant with the hidden manna. Because there is a lot of truth in the Bible that you do not understand. It's a matter of exposing it. And who exposes the truth to you if you go to it? Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, this hidden manna is given to you. We have in the Bible also an expression, precept on precept. Meaning to say, step by step. It's never the whole thing in one time. You cannot carry the whole thing. Don't worry about that. It's step by step. But your desire to discover it should be continuous, should be sustainable. A further help is memorizing scripture. I'm very bad in memorizing scripture, but that is maybe because of my age. This will help you in gaining strength in moments that you are weak. It reminds and quickens your spirit in times of need. You tell me, how often have you not experienced that you are in a certain situation that you are tempted maybe to become angry or maybe tempted to do something which is not right, and suddenly you remember a scripture? Maybe not exactly, but the intention of the scripture, if you pick that up and you remember that at that moment, that is what is meant with memorizing the scripture and having the effect of the scripture at such a moment. Talk with unbelievers about him. How do we call that in the Bible? We call that the Great Commission. Each one of us has that duty, actually. It's a command. And this is what we have to do anyway. The other one is encourage one another with his truth. And this will edify others and also yourself. If you can speak about his word with a brother or a sister, the moment you start speaking it, the moment you start talking about it, you will experience how it builds you up. The moment you give, he will give you more to share. Do not think if you just keep silent that he will give you more. Eh? God is not a wasteful God. He is very, very, a very economical God. So if you start sharing, he will give you even more. Oh, he will give you more. And that is a very nice experience, a blessed experience. We hold on, as Paul teaches us in Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So what is the Apostle Paul teaching us here? He said, hold on, do not do anything else, just hold on. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, he says also, test all things, hold fast what is good. Test every word that I speak. You have to test that. Do not just believe it like that from me. And if you notice that I make a mistake or if it is unclear, talk to me. Tell me, because I have to learn also. But you have to test. Because if you do not test, you will not find out the truth. Really, you have to test it. And in 1 Timothy, you know this, verse 6 to 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Who are these many witnesses? Who are these witnesses? The disciples that died already. But not only that, also the angels. The angels enjoy it a lot if we confess it. Because if you confess the Lord, you glorify him. And there is nothing in this world that is so great as glorifying the Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, let this word take root in our hearts. Give us understanding and give us strength to hold on and to press on. And Lord, give us a desire, Lord, that we will be able to share your word and your glory with one another. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I will read to you immediately also the benediction. Could you please stand up? To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.